Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live. Live. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to the Spirit of Life service for Wednesday, October 28th, 2015. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening. Glad to be here.
And we're here for yet another episode of our weekly service. The weekly Spirit of Life service is an educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this weekly service, we also have several other educational programs, including EmpoweredRecovery.com, which offers help for friends and families of alcoholics and addicts, Paranexus.org, which is an association of anomalous researchers, MetaphysicsInstitute.org, which offers bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysical science, spiritual counseling, and coaching, and paranormal hypnosis, several others. And we also have a new school, Thomas Francis University, TFUniversity.org, which takes a little different approach to metaphysics, offering single courses as well as some degree programs. Before we get into our mindful expansion program, I want to do our abbreviated principles of belief. The full principles of belief are available on the website at metaphysicalhumanism.org, which is the main church website. These nine principles of belief are, number one, do no harm, do right. Number two, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. Number three, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. Number four, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Number five, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. Number six, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. Number seven, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. Number eight, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And number nine, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And again, you can read the full description of these principles of belief at metaphysicalhumanism.org, and you can also join the church there as well. So prior to our starting here, Dr. Hunter has pulled a card from our Inner Oracle card deck. And if you're not familiar with what the Inner Oracle cards are, they are a deck of 54 cards and several suits that basically have life-empowering messages on them that come directly from metaphysical humanism beliefs as well as our degree programs and standalone courses. And Dr. Hunter, what was that card you pulled?
I pulled number 39 in life skills, education. Now, we've never pulled that one before. How exciting is that? Well, and in the booklet, it reads like this. Continual education is the key to individual and collective consciousness and personal success. Commit yourself to lifelong learning, educating yourself continually. And if you don't know something, first look for the answers yourself, then ask if necessary. That's an important, we're going to talk about that.
Yeah.
Gain education and advice through various sources, including people, but always strive to find your own answers. Look for lessons in life experience, situations, and circumstances. Make it your adage to listen, think, learn, grow, and live. You know, education, we're learning all the time, whether we're aware of it or not, you know. The key is to be aware of it. We are, like, what, doubling our information intake? So many days or something now. It's just incredible for the amount of technology, communication that's out there. The amount of information we are taking in, it would have been unheard of 50 years ago. I mean, you've got to think about that, especially with the internet. And, you know, while the reading that people do, even if it's, like, not really intelligent, you know, not just throwing in a little humor. But we are educating ourselves whether we're conscious or not. What this is asking of us to do is to be aware that we're constantly learning, and then to be able to hopefully direct our thoughts and what we'd like to learn, so we can kind of, you know, have some preference in weeding it out. It's kind of like weeding a garden of, you know, all this huge, vast amount of information coming at us. I know that you have a lot to say about this, Dr. Kelly, because education is just paramount to our evolution.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, honestly, the cure to most of the world's woes is education. When you educate people, when they become educated, they automatically grow in their awareness. They grow in their own evolution. They begin to become more tolerant. They begin to behave better and as a rule. And that's what we need on this planet. We need greater education. And as it turns out, education is one of the primary mandates of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. It's what we do. We educate. We strive to educate. And that's why we have the Institute, the metaphysicsinstitute.org, where we offer education. That's why we have other educational programs too. And our new school, Thomas Francis University, which we'll talk about a little bit later, all designed to educate, all with a different approach and in different areas. So I can't begin to understate the value of education. It's what we all should be doing. And the irony behind it is so many people just not into it. They don't know that they don't know, and they have no real desire to change that. And that's what we've got to change with this world. We have to encourage people to educate themselves, to learn, to grow. In fact, here's a little thing that we can all do, and we should all do as a minimum in terms of education, and that is, can you spend 15 minutes a day learning something new? Doesn't matter what it is. I mean, there's so many ways you can do that. You can get online and do a little research. You can look up something you've always wanted to know. Maybe you wanted to know more about a particular country or region of the earth or whatever. Or what, it can be anything. I mean, there's a gazillion things out there. But educate yourself. Spend 15 minutes a day just learning something new, broadening your mind, expanding your awareness. And if you do, you'll get into that groove and you'll benefit, and so will others around you.
So I'd like to talk for a moment why people don't educate themselves or want to learn more. Do you think it's because they're insecure or because they're lazy or both? Or why is that? Is it because we have this really fast-paced, reactive kind of world? Like, what is it when people don't want to learn or they can't?
Well, I think the answer to your question is yes. You know, I mean, it's all of the above, really. And there's more to it, too. People have comfort zones. People don't like change as a rule. And that's so ironic because that's all life is change. It's all it does is change. And yet so many people resist change. And the reason they resist change is because they fear losing control. When we are doing something, we're cooking along in life in a certain way, we have that certain comfort that goes along with feeling like we're in some sort of control. And when things change, we don't know what to expect. Irrational fears raise up, and we don't know what to expect. So rather than facing it head on, direct, and just going with it and learning what they can and adjusting and growing through it, evolving through it, they resist it. So all of those reasons you mentioned is why people don't really embrace change and growth. I mean, there's a big self-help market, yes, just not as big as, you know, Harry Potter market or some of these other things, video game markets, all that. And you know, I don't have any problem with that other stuff. Just grow, educate yourself too.
Well, you mentioned a really important word there is control. And it just really tweaked in me for a moment that I think people want to control what information they're given that fits in with their belief systems or their realities or their view of life. And when you get outside of that frame of reference, it feels like there's no control. and I would think that makes people really uncomfortable. Certainly, you know, I'm the first to admit it. I felt that way in my life at times. However, I have to honestly say I have always wanted to learn and be better, to learn and grow and keep striving for something different. When I challenge myself, I want to challenge myself with a fear. I want to challenge myself with something I'm not good at. You know, writing for me is one of the hardest things I do because I'm also a borderline dyslexic. It's really challenging. I'm good with short stuff, but as Dr. Kelly well knows, the longer stuff, it's a little effort. But it's the retraining my mind and learning about myself. So I think, you know, maybe it boils down to, in some respects, that feeling like someone's out of control in themselves and then kind of shutting down and not wanting to learn anymore. You know, it's kind of like this wall comes up and says, no, I don't have any frame of reference for it. Because really, when we're learning about other things, we're learning about ourselves. I mean, that's just a given. I think I'm learning about how I'm learning. I'm learning about how I'm responding. I'm learning about why that irritates me, you know, or why that makes me feel good, or why that's interesting. So I'm always kind of interested in how I'm reacting as well as what interests me, because that's the greater study. I can read a whole library full of books and it'll mean nothing to me unless I feel connected to it and inspired by it to learn more about myself, if that makes sense. Because I learn more about myself, I can see what I'm looking at differently. But control, I think, is a really important word there. And if people feel out of control for whatever reason, there's maybe a shutdown mechanism, and how would we open that up again?
Yeah. But yet, you know, if we face our fears, we control fear. And I'd like to take this matter of education within the context of compassion a little further, a step further. It dawns on me, you know, everybody's got their perspective, and I have a certain perspective here as we run the school and grade papers and exams and things like that. And I'm just going to think out loud here for a minute, kind of extemporaneously, more so than other times. But it just dawns on me that we all have our level of awareness, and we will end up doing things that we don't even know we're doing until such time as it comes to our attention, or somebody brings it to our attention, whatever. But it's interesting to see, you know, we have students and our exams are open book exams, and some students will fail them. And I scratch my head and wonder why would you fail an open book exam? And I have to go deeper. I'm not judging here. What I'm trying to say here is, why does this happen? Because I am a student of human nature, as anyone who's gone through my courses will know. I want to better understand human nature. Why do certain things happen? Why do people do certain things the way they do? Because in my opinion, and it is my belief, that most people do not lie awake at night scheming and dreaming up ways to harm other people or to screw up or to make mistakes. They just don't. Most people want peace. Most people want good relationships. They want to do well. And yet, you know, we all tend to hold ourselves back in some ways, but it's that level of awareness. And so I look at some of these things and I wonder, and you know, just when I say that stuff, then I turn around and screw up. And I'm thinking, what was going through your head there? You know, why? You know better than that. Why did that happen? And a lot of times it's just because I'm too rushed or I don't think it through clearly enough. You know, that can all happen. But what it does in me is it engenders a deeper sense of compassion for the human condition and understanding of the human condition. You know, people do what they do. Nobody really understands human nature completely. We can just keep trying and get little glimpses here and there of things. But people are different. And so as you educate yourself, and maybe you come into contact or you see people doing stupid things, I mean, it's all over the place. You have to understand that what's driving that is a lack of awareness. They just don't know any better. I mean, we're all in that space, that place. We just don't know any better in some ways, some more than others. And so we educate ourselves, but we have to hold on to the understanding, the compassion, and try not to judge.
You know, I think you said something really important there about being rushed. You know, if we're rushed or we're not in the moment to be giving attention to what we're doing because we're on to the next thing already, or we're kind of preoccupied. But we do live in a really fast world. And maybe this is a really good point to bring up with Thomas Francis University. And one of the reasons it's built the way it is for one thing, students can take single courses. But also, to get your feet wet, you can choose a course that really interests you. You know, again, students who are new to metaphysics, for instance, or, you know, it's just something you want to get a taste of, you can then choose a topic. And that begins that educational process. So I think that's kind of where I'm going with this, is that trying to adapt and have sensitivity and compassion for the world that we live in. And when we ignite a fire, when somebody gets a taste and they start to use different brain pathways and the emotions and, oh, and that, again, the mind is starting to expand, become more aware, then maybe in this sense that, you know, we're working on, is that then someone would want to continue to pursue an advance. And of course, because it's set up the way that it is, if such a student gets that first course, the second course, the third course, and they're really on it, well, we're crediting them to attain a bachelor's. And there's nothing more exciting than having that bit of reward or having that little letter behind your name to say, wow, I got educated and didn't even know it. You know, that's kind of exciting. So, I mean, I think that in a rushed kind of world, we all have to adapt. We have to modify ourselves. We have to slow down a little bit and find ways that help each other to expand our educational base, but being aware of it. And I think that that's, you know, that's really important. I'm going to pick another card if that's all right with you, Dr. Doug.
Before you do, I'm just going to wrap up a couple comments on Thomas Francis, because I think there needs to be some clarity here on the differences between it and IMHS. IMHS is our flagship school. It is always going to be more stringent, more objective, more challenging. It's always going to be that way. In fact, down the road, it's going to probably even become a little more so, and I'm talking a year or more down the road, but you know, it's still going to remain flagship school. Thomas Francis is aimed at single courses, but also those who are newer to degrees or haven't been in school for decades. The requirements are less stringent. It's a little more open in terms of the courses that are offered there. It's basically designed to appeal to a broader audience. I mean, IMHS appeals to a certain audience who likes things objective and more scientific, and that's fine. Thomas Francis is just a little broader, a little more open to esoteric concepts, whereas, you know, courses that we might not have at IMHS, but it's just designed to appeal to a broader audience. So if you're an IMHS student, you're not going to get anything new at Thomas Francis. The courses are the same. In fact, some courses have been split into two, so it's designed to be a little lighter, a little easier in some ways, less challenging requirements. And it's really hard to split these hairs because it's kind of like splitting hairs. But Thomas Francis is just designed to be a little more esoteric and more open, a little less stringent, and not quite the graduation requirements not quite as tight as at IMHS. So if you're at IMHS and you're doing well, stay there. That's the place to be. There might be an occasion where a student would do better at TFU, and you can talk to me if you think that's the case, but in most cases it's probably not. But it will appeal to a different type of student that is not at IMHS right now.
You know, I might add in here that Tracy said in the chat just now, what I like about IMHS is that Dr. Kelly has it structured so that you can get your mind right and focus before even beginning any type of psi work. Mm-hmm. And That's a beautiful way to say it, Tracy, and thanks for doing that. And that is exactly the design of IMHS and why I fell in love with it. And I might say almost 5 years now. And for others who are listening, I was 55 when I enrolled with Dr. Kelly and IMHS, and I just had my 60th on Sunday. I'm very proud
of that. Happy
birthday. Yes, and so it was a real marker for me because it's, you know, going on to that, you know, in the spring it'll be 5 years that I've been with IMHS, and it's, you know, we have students of all ages and all walks of life with varying degrees of educational backgrounds, which is why TFU is that slight modification, you know, to the structure of IMHS. And IMHS, to me, is you're still going to get quality at TFU. That's not what we're saying. But I love IMHS. So I love what Tracy has said. It's get the groundwork, you know, get all that self-discovery work in play, and then you get into to your specialization. So, but it's, again, there's different things for different people, and, you know, we're all learning and growing at the same time. And
yep.
One of the things about education that was in that card before we do move on to that just struck me is to do it for yourself, not get others to do it for you. And that's, again, what we've been talking about in, you know, why don't people learn? You know, we're rushed, we're in a hurry, we're reactive, we're kind of lazy, we're not used to it, we haven't had to do a lot of that. We live in a world that provides us with whatever we want, just go Google it, you know, or you ask somebody. But it's really important that we learn in independence. And in this next card that I drew, what we were talking about before, lo and behold, I picked out Law of Control. You know, and really, the first thing that comes to mind in context here is self-control. You know, to be in control of the self, to know you can do it. But I'll read from the booklet. Differences are inevitable. Diversity is desirable. The law of control says you cannot change or control others, but you can have a positive impact or influence. Control only that to which you are entitled to control. Do not give unsolicited advice. Respect that everyone has the same rights to self-creation and decisions, and you can accept present circumstances as they are, lobby for change, or leave. You know, and that's just loaded.
Yeah.
You know, that little write-up is loaded with little gems, if we, you know, just give a moment to think about that. But I really, again, the gems are in there, but for me, as I take from this and in context of our discussion, is I'm in control of me, and I want to be in control of my own mind, and I want to be more independent, self, what's that word, you know, self-reliant, and figure out more myself, because I'm the only one I can control.
And that's so. Those are some good points. In fact, one of those is great, the three L's. You know, when you're faced with any situation, you have three choices. You can live with it, you can lobby for change, or you can leave. And forgive me, I can't remember who to attribute that to. It's not mine. But it's a great life principle. Live with it, lobby for change, or leave. And that doesn't matter what you're facing. I mean, it could be a bad situation at work. It can be a bad relationship. It can be anything like that. So that's something to keep in mind. And along the lines of self-reliance, that's something that I've talked about many times, and I just want to throw it back out on the table just as a reminder. You know, if you've got something to do, strive to do it. If you've got a problem, strive to figure it out before you ask. And there's nothing wrong with really asking, but at least try to solve it yourself. Try to find the answer yourself and before you ask, because that's part of the growth process too. And that's one of the things that I ask my students to do. You know, I've spent hundreds of hours writing the handbook and writing instructions and pages and everything just to save everybody time. And so I encourage students, look, if you've got a question, that's fine. You know, look for the answer first. Try to find it yourself. If you can't, then ask me. That's fine. But at least try. And and that's something you said, you know, figuring things out on your own. I mean, I'm sitting here doing all the stuff I do, and the only help that I've got really, I don't have anybody to go ask, especially when it comes to website stuff. I have to look it up, have to do research, and can take hours and hours. I spent a dozen hours trying to solve one little problem. I've spent several hours trying to find a little tweak. Haven't found it yet, but I'll find it. But I just haven't done it yet. But you keep at it, you know, and that goes along with, you know, how hard can it be? Other people do it. I can do it too. And the same is true for everyone listening. You can do anything you want. Just strive to do it. Don't take the easy way out. Everybody's so accustomed, just ask. I mean, I get emails. Do you guys do metaphysics degrees? I'm scratching my head. Well, yes, you know, and I used to, you know, but nowadays I don't even think twice. And that kind of goes along with what I said earlier about human nature and compassion. Sometimes people will email me or even call me just to make sure there's a warm body back here. And so I'll answer those questions as if, yes, we do metaphysics degrees. Here's more information. Thank you for your interest.
You know, I got to, just as you're talking, this funny little story comes to mind. About 20 years ago, when I first started raising chickens, I know it sounds like I'm off topic, but it's really relevant. There's another friend of mine, I'd known her for years. She had been raising chickens for a long time. And she told me about this really wonderful little, we call it the Chicken Bible. She's, go to the feed store, get this book. Everything you need to know about chickens is in this book. Well, I did. I went and I got this book, and I come home. Of course, I skimmed through it and stuff. And then, you know, over the next week or two, I think I called her about three times to ask her a question. And finally, she says, you have a book with all those answers in it.
Read it.
And I started laughing. I said, but then I wouldn't get to talk to you. You know, so there is something to be said for, you know, wanting that human connection. But really, I mean, I could look things up and then, you know, talk to her about what she might do as opposed to what's the answer.
Right.
You know, so I could have a different approach altogether just to have a conversation. But I had to acknowledge at that moment that I was, number one, being lazy, and the other, I was in need of good conversation about chickens. Because nobody else wanted to talk about chickens.
I'm not going to touch that one, so you might as well just pull another card.
I'll pull another card here. Hang on. Well, this one is number 34 in Service to Self and Others, and it's Take and Release Ownership. Now, I don't know. Have we drawn that card before?
I don't know either. It's not very familiar, so I don't know if we have or not.
Well, I'm going to go and read it. Ownership and entitlement are not the same. Ooh, big, very big, important statement there. Ownership is taking responsibility with a healthy attitude. Entitlement is expecting more than what is earned. Doesn't this just fit really well with our discussion? Further, codependence is taking an unhealthy ownership for other people's problems and feelings, and this may be a time to reflect on owning only what's yours and releasing the rest. Now, if I think of this in context of answering, you know, emails and questions, what I think you're doing, Dr. Doug, is saying yes and acknowledging them, but then giving them the, you know, the link to go and look it up. So it's that teaching mechanism that's also involved there. So it's, we're not taking an unhealthy, you know, ownership. We're putting it into perspective that, you know, what is the need here? Go ahead.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that fits in with what we've talked about a few minutes ago too. You know, basically the definition of codependence is doing things for other people that they could and should do for themselves. And so when I ask students to look it up first, to try to solve it yourself, that's in line with what I teach. That's in line with the principles we teach, the principles of the church and everything. That's in line with everything I'm teaching. So even by asking that or by stating that, I'm teaching. I'm trying to encourage people to grow and broaden out and increase in awareness. So we need to take ownership for what's ours but not take ownership for what's not ours. That's also a heavy statement. Ownership versus entitlement, that's a little bit of a different thing. But when it comes to self-responsibility, we take responsibility for ourselves. We don't and should not assume responsibility for another adult. It's not our job. It's not our place to fix them. It's not our place to change them. It's not our place to make them fit more with our own idea of who they should be. It's their path, their walk. They need to do it. You need to do yours. So own what is yours. Don't own what's not yours.
You know, I'd really like to address entitlement a little bit more, because we live in a very kind of strange world now. Mm-hmm. That people feel they are entitled to electricity and running water, and you know, these are actually conveniences that we have created for ourselves in a society. But there's, you know, lots of people in the world that don't have that. And so what are we entitled to? Well, I think if we look at the human condition, you know, every human being ought to be entitled to food, shelter, and some kind of health care, you know, and I'm not getting into politics here. I'm just talking about, you know, right, what's necessary, you know, to function as a human being. Beyond that, it's that gratefulness that, you know, if you really and sincerely, if you have a roof over your head, you get food in the fridge, and you're managing in your life, then it's good. You know, life is good. And it's when you think you're entitled to the cell phone, entitled to, you know, your newest iPad, and you're entitled to all these things, it starts to get a little bit crazy. Then we start thinking, well, if I Google once and I don't get the answer, well, I've just, you know, I'm mad. You know, it's like, because I should get it right away. Why doesn't Google read my mind? Well, newsflash, it really does. And because it knows everything that you've done. So it's this entitlement attitude that we need to check in with ourselves from time to time. Take ownership of how we can even get away on ourselves. And, you know, do we need to buy that? Do we need that when you go shopping? Excuse me. Do you need to have it? And if the answer is you don't need it, it doesn't mean you can't have it. Just keep perspective that it's something that you would want or like to have. And then the gratefulness for having that and being able to do it. You know, and we've talked lots about pay it forward. We've talked about being kind, compassion, and but it really requires us to check in with ourselves and what we really are entitled to, and what we think we are. So we have to take ownership of our attitudes about how we live life and kind of put it all in perspective. And after that, it's a piece of cake, as they say.
And if you want to pull another card, I'm going to just summarize this thing on entitlement. There are certain things that we are entitled to as human beings, as sentient beings. You know, as you mentioned, food, shelter, clothing, you know, a peaceful life, those kinds of things. There are other things in life that we may not automatically be entitled to, but we can earn them. So yep, keep those in perspective.
Absolutely. Well, the next card I just pulled, I've got it, all my cards fanned across the table, and perfection came out. It's in the Life Leadership Paragon, self-acceptance. It's perfection. So that's a big discussion, and I'm going to pull that right back to education. Mm-hmm. You know, as we are perfection in motion, if you think about that, which it all hinges on self-education. So let me read from our little guidebook. Always remember that you are perfect, just as you are. A perfect work in progress, always changing and growing. Today is a reflection of past choices, and tomorrow is changeable by choices made today. This card may indicate that a situation is either perfect or not perfect for you. Embrace all mistakes, as they're vital to your growth while striving for a better future. Reflect to see what contributes to your perfect journey and move forward gracefully.
Yep, and that's fitting.
That's loaded. It's just loaded with stuff in there, too.
And we've talked about that a lot. perfection a lot. Let's move on to another card, one that will fit in with everything that we've been talking about.
You mean like empowerment? How about that one?
Yeah. You know, it's funny how these things all work together. You know, it's all going toward, it's like a stream or a river, you know, moving toward one destination, so to speak. Yep. And that's the theme of tonight. Because all, you know, perfection and empowerment, that all will result if we educate ourselves.
Well, simply in the book, taking your power back is literally all powerful and absolutely priceless. It alone is the solution and principle for virtually every problematic circumstance in your life, from a bad relationship to spiritual harassment. Now, you were talking about that earlier. It's amazing. Retaining your power means to retain your wholeness. When you are whole, you are empowered. Empower others by doing no harm and doing right. Now, that's important. You empower others by doing no harm and doing right. Sharing the best of yourself is encouraging and uplifting to yourself and others. You know, and education is everything leading to that moment. And for those who, you know, are joining us in, you know, live or in the archives, and aren't familiar with this, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, respect for free will equals self-completeness. And that is empowerment. When you understand those concepts and you become self-complete, you are empowered.
It's great that you brought that up, because while you were talking, I'm thinking we got to talk about self-completeness. That's the, and you brought it up. That's good.
Well, that's kind of like I'm psychic, eh?
Yeah, are you really? Anyway, self-completeness is like the ultimate goal of everything we teach. Stand on your own two feet. Be complete within yourself. Don't, quote, need, unquote, another person to complete you, because you complete you. You are self-reliant. Standing on your own two feet, holding your head high. You have a good, healthy self-concept. You have self-esteem, meaning internal expectations and internal validation, not them esteem, which is external expectations and validation. So self-completeness is what it's all about. And if we had a world of self-complete people, we would not see all the stuff going on in the world that we see. We would not see terrorism. We would not see crime. We would not see harm and abuse and all the stuff that we see, the negative stuff we see, because people would be complete within themselves. They would respect other people. They would respect other people's beliefs without killing them over it. And so it's a powerful thing.
Well, empowerment is me being the boss of me. I understand that I coexist. I respect. There's regulations, rules, and boundaries, and so on and so forth. But I am the boss of me. I am the only one who lives in this body and in this mind. And that, to me, just knowing that fact, I feel empowered. You know, and at the very least, I can look at the rest of the world and say, well, that's them, but this is me. And I choose to learn. I choose to grow. I choose to do what I will by my own free will. It's my own mind. I accept myself. I'm responsible. And I respect others' free will. That's self-completeness. So I'm just putting it into another context of how others can kind of have that dialogue with themselves.
And if anyone listening live would like a card pulled, now would be the time to say so in the chat room.
Absolutely.
And we'll do that. We're going to wrap things up here in a minute. So if you want one, let us know.
You know, I want to thank our regulars, but also our new guests who sometimes don't sign in to the chat, and that's fine. We see the numbers, but you're welcome to always join in the chat. And we don't have a phone in on this format, but, you know, chat seems to be working pretty well for us, so please feel free. So if anybody would like a card, I am waiting. Nothing yet. I did pull one more, Dr. Doug, because I was just inclined to do that. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny, which is exactly what you were saying. You know, we're all in this planet together. And I really believe this. I mean, we each have individual lives or communities and so on. But I really believe none of us is going anywhere without the other. And I believe that, you know, in this, whether it's a spiritual evolution, you know, a consciousness evolution, a universal evolution, or even just, you know, down here in the physical reality, we are in this together. And this is why it's so important to take care of yourself, be as well as you can, and interact with others and give forward and, but also be in a sharing place and above all, accept kindness graciously. Nothing bugs me more than somebody said, oh, you shouldn't have. Oh, did you? I mean, just say thanks. All right.
Yeah. All right. We have three that would like cards. So first, Dr. Shirley would like a card.
Oh, hello, Shirley. Nice to see you tonight. Gratitude. Oh, there we go. I'm going to read that to you. I really like this card. Gratitude is the joy one feels in the heart when the mind awakens to the gifts in life, no matter how seemingly small or insignificant. The truest essence of love lives within the feeling of gratitude, desiring a connection with all life while giving freely without want for return. Gratitude is benevolence that wants to give forward. Take a compliment with graciousness and good manners when gratitude is extended. Boy, am I psychic or what? I'm really on the game tonight.
All right, let's do the next one. Jenny.
What's this one? Hi, Jenny. All right, Jenny. I have one for you. Esteem and validation, which is number two. Self-esteem is self-worth based on internal expectations and validation, not to be confused with them-esteem, which is self-worth based on external expectations and validation. High self-confidence is not the same as high self-esteem. Self-validation is the highest regard you give to yourself. Fully experience the truths of your own path. So if you're, you know, if that makes some kind of sense to you today, we know you a little bit. Maybe it's just you're observing this in other people and, you know, doing a little checkpoint again. That would make sense to me. So,
or maybe it's just a reminder.
Exactly. It's just like a little checkpoint. And I think sometimes we're doing the work on ourselves, but we're still shocked when we see that other negative stuff in other people. And we're not sure. So this gives us a little bit of perspective. So who is next do we have here?
Dr. Darlene.
Ooh, hi, Dr. Darlene. Spirit, cosmos, and divine energy, which is number 12. Interesting. Drawing this card indicates the evolving relationship you have with your own inner spirit or higher self within the context of the greater universe. You are growing your relationship with the cosmic consciousness. Powerful. Continue to observe and appreciate the interconnectedness of all life forms within the fabric of life and the important role you and they play. So, that's a little...
Basically, who you are within the context of the greater, bigger picture. All right.
You know, that leads me to just mention that As Dr. Doug has said in all the studies and otherwise, the meaning of life versus the purpose of life. The meaning of life is basically who you are and, you know, built on your belief systems. But your purpose can change. And how we view our relationship with the universe can change as our beliefs change and our purpose can change. And that's evolution, right? We keep changing.
So. All right, that's good. The next one is Tracy. Would like a card.
Hi, Tracy. Sacred obligations.
That's a good one.
I don't know if we've pulled that one yet either.
I don't think we have. It's a good one.
A sacred obligation is the sacrosanct duty that any higher being would render for the highest good of all concerned. Sacred obligations include do no right, do harm, pay it forward, uphold individual value, value of life, extend tolerance and equality, control and change only what one is entitled to control and change. Evolve and grow as a human being with higher awareness. Promote knowledge, not fear, and more. Continue to aspire to your highest good by recognizing and fulfilling your sacred obligations.
Let me just comment real quick on that.
Yes, please do.
Sacrosanct means sacred, or you don't violate it, you don't trespass on it. And so those are obligations that we have. Now, when it comes to obligations in life, there's several kinds. One is the obligations that we impose on ourselves. And they're our choice, and we can do it or not do it. You know, if it's self-imposed obligation, then it's up to us. But then there's the obligations imposed upon us by others. That can be religions, families, bosses, doesn't matter. And a lot of times we think we're obligated when we're truly not. And it is a matter of boundaries, healthy boundaries, and and maintaining those healthy boundaries to not be obligated to something that's not ours to be obligated. It goes right back to not owning something that's not ours to own. So I'm not going to go too deeply into it, but that's basically it. There are sacred obligations. Do no harm. Do right is one of them. And basically education and growing, improving yourself, raising your one, that's a sacred obligation for you. And I don't mean for you individually. I mean for you, everyone, all of us. So the next on the list
I caught Darren's name in the chat.
Okay. Okay. Go
and
ahead.
I pulled one while you were talking, and I don't think we've had this card either. So for you, Darren, continuity of life, number 16.
That's an interesting one.
It is, and human consciousness transcends the physical body, allowing a new chapter of life to continue. Stability and peace is assured with continuity and the flow of day-to-day life. There is reason to hope for a favorable outcome in the face of adversity or a difficult situation. You are a living example of the continuity of life. Cherished values will continue to live and grow. Sometimes we must allow a current chapter to close so that a new chapter may begin. Very interesting. I don't believe we have pulled that card before, and I'm really glad to see some new energy kind of popping up here.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that makes sense to you, Darren, but I think that that's a really good message.
And that continuity of life obviously takes different, as the text said, it takes different ways of positions or can be viewed in different ways. Obviously, death is one. You know, we move on to another chapter. Another one is death of a pet or a, you know, continuity of life. And because we can't prove that life doesn't continue on, I go with that because that at least is comforting for me for losing pets and even loved ones.
Yeah.
And then there's just the changes in life. You know, we move from one chapter to another. So,
well, you know, Angie was saying that that card for Darren, it fits the question, she said.
Good.
We have one more. Errol has asked, and so I'm kind of moving all these cards. I'm going to go right down to the bottom here, Errol, and get one for you. Energy shift, new chapter. Ooh. That's number 14 in our cards. Yep.
Go ahead.
Energy shifts are a natural result from increased awareness, knowledge, and new attitudes that naturally open new chapters in one's life. It's an excellent time to clarify your vision during this time of shifting energy. Reflect, gather your energy, breathe, and step forward with a renewed sense of direction. Out with the old and in with the new. So I expect you might be able to relate to that a little bit, Errol, and that's great. That's a really great message.
Yeah, and I know a little bit about that, and I think that's very, very appropriate for you, Errol. It's almost a validation.
Awesome.
So we're going to start winding down here a little bit. We've talked about a number of different things, education being a big one, take ownership of what's yours not and not what's not yours. We talked about empowerment, and fill in if you can, if you help me remember some of these. We talked about control and controlling what's yours to control. So it's funny how it all threads together, just like that stream I was talking about. Sometimes it's a river, raging river, all toward a particular concept or thought. And that's what's important about these, and that's why this format we've been using, we've kind of stumbled on it and stuck with it, is this mindful expansion, because we don't know what necessarily what we're going to talk about each week. Sometimes we have guests on, that's fine, and sometimes we might have a topic, but this is so good because it's just out of the blue, and it's, in my opinion, a much better venue for some of the deeper things that we can get into that might not make it into a pre-programmed topic, even though that sounds like it would. But when Dr. Hunter and I talk, we talk about a lot of different things. We even speculate on some things and talk about deeper things. So,
and we appreciate the interaction with all of you folks in the chat. It means a lot. It helps us out a lot, but we appreciate the dialogue to be able to expand in many ways to what we're discussing, to make it grounded, where it's practical application, where it's sensible. And because no matter what we learn, you know, we can learn all the metaphysical stuff in the universe, but it doesn't mean anything unless we can put it into our daily lives. And that's the real education, is to learn the concept, learn the notion, and put it into effect.
So we appreciate everyone who has tuned into this live program. We really do. And if you like it, let other people know about it. We appreciate those listening to the archives. The same thing applies. If you like it, spread it around, because the stuff that we talk about can and does change lives in a positive way. Next week, we'll have another edition of Mindful Expansion. Until then, again, thanks. And also thanks to Michael Kelly, too, for producing the show. But till next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live, and really live. Good night.
Good night.